How do we keep teenagers connected to the church after confirmation? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Teaching the Faith at Home. What does this mean? How is this done? It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Teaching the Faith at Home costs $15.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Teaching the Faith at Home.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
The way Jesus makes it sound in Matthew chapter 6, well, it sounds like he's saying we don't have to worry about anything. Now, we naturally will bristle when we hear something about that. We have to be worried about something. Life is full of worries. Life of full of big and small worries. Sometimes we reduce them to mere concerns. We say we don't need to worry, but we should be concerned. But again, Jesus seems to make it sound like down to the very basics of your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, the very clothes that you will put on, he says, don't stop to worry about it. Don't be anxious about it. It's not, number one, it's not worth it. He says life consists far more of than simply things like this, but he says your Father knows what you need, and he will provide all of this for you. You seek first the righteousness of God, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest of the stuff will be added to you as well. It's not something we want to hear because we prefer to worry, but Jesus says don't be anxious about anything. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, Jesus teaching us to trust in Matthew chapter 6. Pastor Baker is a regular guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
According to Jesus, we're going to talk a lot about trust and faith. What's the opposite of trust and faith according to Jesus?
I would assume that if it's according to Jesus, we're talking about biblical trust and faith. Biblical trust and faith, therefore, the opposite of that would be the opposite of trust would be self-interest, and the opposite of faith would be idolatry. Why do I say that? Because biblical trust looks to Jesus as our hope, as he who supplies whatever we need, in contrast to self-interest, where I look to myself. Faith, therefore, the object of all faith are the promises of Jesus Christ in light of his death and resurrection. And the opposite of that would be a form of idolatry where I trust myself. I look to myself to achieve those things that I want. And therefore, the opposite of trust and faith would be, in my opinion, self-interest and idolatry.
So, kind of locate us here for those who don't have a Bible in their hand to follow along with this. Where in Matthew are we, and how does Jesus begin this discourse on true trust and faith in God?
This is actually part of what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, beginning with Matthew 5, with the Beatitudes, and then Jesus talking about coming to fulfill the law. And then he goes through and says, here's all the things you would have to do, you know, not only stop murdering by action, but also by thought, by word. He goes through many of the commandments. If you want to obey the law in order to become perfect like your Father in heaven, these are the things you need to do. And then he talks about, of course, the gospel, which is that he has come to fulfill the law. Then he gets into the area of what we would call sanctification. And I believe that this particular passage, Matthew 6, 25 to 34, is what we would be calling the third use of the law. The third use of the law is guidance to Christians who wonder what the will of God is for their life. And, of course, he begins this particular section about us not being anxious about our life, what is going on in the material world, and therefore he compares that to being thinking of the righteousness that we get from Jesus.
So this anxiousness that he's talking about has to do with just the very basic things of life that everybody, in Jesus' at Jesus' time when he's speaking these words today continue to be concerned about? Why does Jesus make it so? He didn't talk about, you know, being anxious about the big things in life. He's really talking about what we probably should, in perspective, call the little things in life.
Yes. In fact, I would go back one verse. This Sunday school lesson begins at 25, but I will encourage that I believe the introduction to this section is verse 24, where Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, it's very important to understand that the word mammon here is a Semitic word which referred to money or possessions. So what Jesus now does in verses 25 to 34, he shows how being anxious about mammon, namely our temporal needs that we think, which really are more our temporal wants rather than our needs, we then serve ourself, our self-interest, we become our own idols, and we do not serve God. So I think that verse 24 is a great introduction to what the Sunday school teacher is going to be trying to get across in the following passage.
So really, you're kind of marrying those two things, that our anxiety, if not corrected here by Jesus' words, not if our trust is not redirected from ourselves to God through Jesus Christ, then all of these things become idols. We make idols of ourselves because we suppose that we can kind of take care of all these matters of life.
Yes. Who, even among the children, would not agree that they worry about the future? Maybe there are things that they would like to have, maybe a new bike, or maybe new clothes, or are they going to be liked by the people at school? What the teacher needs to do, and I would go around the children and say, what do you worry about specifically? And then I would address those worries, and how do we address them? We address them with promises from God that comfort us. So if a child says, well, I'm not sure I'm going to get that bicycle I want, the teacher can then say that God will provide you with whatever you need. And if you don't receive the bike in the timing that you want, that's because God has made that decision for your good. In other words, you keep moving the children back in their thoughts to the promises of God, where he promises to take care of us, even in these temporal areas, so that we do not make idols of mammon rather than trusting the promises of God.
He asks this kind of rhetorical question. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? What's in that question for us to understand?
It's the question that really is at the basis of every religion in the world, is how can we get right with a God that appears to be against us? Most people in the world, when they are not Christian, they look at their experience to make a decision as to whether or not God likes them or if he has something against them. And so when bad things happen to them, must be I'm doing something wrong. And every religion has one goal outside of Christianity, and that is to placate or appease this angry God. And people keep getting worried, oh boy, am I going to be able to do that? Well, the gospel of the Christian faith indicates, and this is 2 Corinthians, that God already has been appeased with you. He already is reconciled to you. There is no need to try and get God to be reconciled to you, because due to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he already is reconciled, because Jesus broke down the dividing wall of hostility of our sins. And therefore, we are no longer held accountable for our sins. Our task in the church is to get people to be reconciled to this God. And so it's a totally different understanding of reality, not under our experience, but rather from the Word of God.
Then he makes a comparison, a kind of an example and a comparison. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Again, another question. Are you not of more value than they? What's Jesus saying?
He is saying something that I think Martin Luther really summarized well. He says, Jesus is making the birds our schoolmasters and teachers. It is a great and abiding disgrace to us that in the gospel, a helpless sparrow should become a theologian and a preacher. And so what God is doing is, through Jesus, he's showing, look at, I'm taking care of these little things. How can I not take care of the big thing that really is the question on every person in the world? How can I get right with God? And the answer of Christianity is totally unique, and it is totally different because it shows a love that is never experienced by human beings, a love from God where he loves the loveless, saves the enemies, dies for those who hate him in order to bring us into a right relationship with him.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Today we're teaching a Sunday school lesson in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus teaches us to trust. When we come back, we'll talk about the futility of being anxious. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. In about 10 minutes, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Andy Bartelt of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, continuing our series, responding to liberal proof texts. Today, Isaiah 1 and 58. Do these texts teach liberation theology, pure social justice, as really kind of the main message of Scripture? Then Mark and Molly Hemingway will join us from the Weekly Standard and the Federalist. We'll get our weekly update on the November elections. Pastor Baker, the next words that Jesus speaks here, which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? It sounds like he's almost talking about the utter futility of being anxious.
Anxiety, and this is really the point here, always comes about because we feel we are not in control of the future, and we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And the more anxious we become, in fact, people in the medicine tell us that it actually can shorten your health and hurt your health being anxious. And what God is pointing out is that anxiousness is not overcome by hearing a command, don't be anxious. You know, commands simply don't work in this area. But rather, by turning to the promises of God that take away our anxiousness. For example, if you are anxious about what is going to happen tomorrow and you're worried about something, I would encourage people to go to a psalm like 113, where it says, praise the Lord. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. And people can read one Psalm 113 on their own. By the time you're done reading that, you almost feel embarrassed that you are anxious about tomorrow as you begin to realize that it says very clearly in this psalm, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap and makes them sit with princes, with the princes of the people. So the psalms are chock full of promises that can move our anxiousness away so that we can not only sleep well at night, but again, turn our trust to Jesus and his promises rather than our self-interest and our idolatry.
So after he's talked about the lilies of the field who are arrayed more gloriously than even Solomon in all of his glory, he says, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So this is not the only time Jesus uses that phrase on us and his disciples, O you of little faith. What are your thoughts there, Tom?
Yes, every time Jesus says that, it doesn't mean, like a Joel Osteen would say, that you don't have enough faith in yourself. He's always referring to some promise that they forgot. For example, when they're on the boat and they're afraid it's going to sink, he says that same phrase, oh, you of little faith. Now, where is there a promise in the Bible that anybody on the boat isn't going to drown? Well, there isn't for you and for me, but there was for the disciples, because it was very clear from the Old Testament that Jesus wasn't going to die in the waters in a lake. He wasn't going to be drowned. He was going to be pierced in hands and feet. He was going to be whipped. And that's Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. Because they did not recognize the true mission of Jesus to come to take away the sins of the world by dying for us, they became afraid on the boat. And had they remembered the promises of the Old Testament in regard to Jesus, they too might have been able to lie down and go to sleep, as did Jesus on that tumultuous sea.
Why does he compare us in our anxiety when we're asking questions like, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? He says the Gentiles seek after all these things. Why the comparison to Gentiles here?
In this particular situation, the term Gentile doesn't refer to a believer, but to an unbeliever. In fact, in the Pentecost sermon, Peter talks about that the salvation and the baptism is for those who are near, those would be Jews, and those who are afar off. He's referring there to Gentiles. Without the promises of the gospel known by Gentiles, their only hope for being here on earth is, what can I get out of it? And so it's interesting, the Gentiles not only want these things, they seek after those things. That becomes their idol. And Jesus is simply saying, hey, you don't need to seek after it because your Father in heaven knows that you need them all. So seek first the kingdom of God. And what does that mean? It means within the Holy Christian Church, through the means of a divine worship service, baptism, the Lord's Supper, we seek that righteousness which comes to us freely, and therefore we can get to a point where we are relieved of our anxieties as we trust in the promises of the Holy Trinity.
So he is really directing us to the means of grace as answers to that question, what shall I wear, what shall I eat, what shall I drink? When we seek after those things, there's nothing but anxiety before. But in the means of grace, what do we find? What does he assure us of?
In the means of grace, we're assured in baptism, for example, that we have been adopted into the family of God. Baptism is connected to the promises of Jesus Christ. That is where our assurance is that we are going to heaven. Yes, our sins were forgiven at the cross, but what gets us to heaven is that we receive the gift, and that's what baptism does. Now, as we continue to sin, we often wonder, am I still good enough to get to heaven? And that is taken care of by the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, because one of the ways in which you appropriate the Lord's Supper properly is to confess that you are a poor, miserable sinner, not deserving this at all, falling totally on the grace of God, and receive then not only his true body and blood, but with it, all the promises that he has won for us by his death and resurrection, including the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, and the many promises that he continues to take care of us.
He also says all of these things will be added to you. So that those, what are the these things that he's talking about?
He's going back to the mundane things of the world. I may not get enough money to go to the best restaurants, but I do have enough money to buy food, to make it at home, and therefore, as I look at my life, how many times I went to bed and couldn't go to sleep because I was worried about something, how many times do we think, I'm not going to get through this, and here we are again. God got us through, and therefore, the more we look to the promises of God and remember them by reading the Psalms or parts of the New Testament, the less anxious we will come because we have a God who never breaks his promises.
And then his final words here, let's spend a little time on those if we could. The final words there in Matthew 6, verse 34, I think it is. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. A little proverb there from Jesus at the end. What is he saying?
I would say the way to update this, and I was helped by taking a look at some of the CPH material here, is take one day at a time. If you think today is bad, you know, wait till tomorrow. It may be a better day or it may be a worse day, but it doesn't matter. Because God holds the whole world in his hands, and he never will allow a temptation to come to you beyond what you're able to endure. He'll even provide a way of escape, plus the many other promises that he takes care of us, as he said before, as the flowers in the field and the birds in the air.
With, let's see, about a minute here, Tom, what's the law and gospel for our Sunday school teachers out there who are preparing to bring this lesson to the kids? What's the law and the gospel of this particular passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 6?
The law is we worry about the future. And then we hear the command, don't be anxious. Well, two things about the law. Number one, this is God's will that we not be anxious. But number two, as he says to the disciples after the rich man, with men it is impossible not to be anxious or to do any good work perfectly. So what's the gospel? The gospel is Jesus steps in and does for us what we are unable to do for ourselves. We cannot stop from being anxious by just saying, don't be anxious, don't be anxious, don't be anxious. But Jesus takes care of that anxiousness by supplying us with the promises that he earned for us, and that is what comforts us. And that's what I would encourage the Sunday school teachers to do. Listen to the children. What are they worried about? And then bring the appropriate promises to counter that sort of idolatry.
It kind of reminds me here right at the end, Tom, that speaking of delivering this to kids, kind of preparing them for the rest of their life to face the rest of their life. There was a recent survey taken of elderly people in nursing homes, and they were asked their biggest regret in life. And almost, you know, to a person, one of their top regrets in their life was, I wish I wouldn't have spent so much time worrying.
Yes. Yes. And yet that's something we can't do. But with Christ, we do spend less time worrying. How many times have I been unable to sleep because I'm worried about something, so I just pick up the Bible, read some comments, and soon I'm snoring.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Next week, Pastor Baker will take us through a Sunday school lesson on Jesus anointed in Luke chapter 7. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
We base our conversations with Tom every week on a Sunday school curriculum that comes from Concordia Publishing House and has proven over its short history, really been out about, probably going on 10 years now, that it is genuinely Christ-centered, cross-focused. They hear regularly from Sunday school teachers who not only see that it helps them prepare, but also helps them prepare to bring Christ to the Sunday school classroom in each and every Sunday school lesson. Find out more about Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. It's there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or they'll send you a free sample. Just give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Hour two of Issues Etc. is ahead. We're going to respond to a liberal proof text or two, Isaiah 1 and 58, often cited by theological liberals as teaching liberation theology. Dr. Andy Bartelt of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
You've enjoyed our Looking Forward to Sunday Morning interviews with Pastor David Peterson. Did you know that there's a book with more than 60 of his Lent and Easter sermons, including daily readings for all of Lent? It's called Thy Kingdom Come. Find out more and purchase it online at emmanuelpress.us. Make Thy Kingdom Come part of your devotional life during the Lenten and Easter seasons. EmmanuelPress.us. Thy Kingdom Come by Pastor David Peterson.